Psalm 70. Let us worship God together in hearing this read, since these are the words of God. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, to bring to remembrance. Make haste, O God, deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Yahweh. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let them be turned back because of their shame, who say, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Yahweh, do not delay. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. As the Holy Spirit has titled it for us, he helps us know what to look for in this psalm when he says it's a psalm for causing to remember. And it's a psalm in which we ask God to remember. But it's a psalm in which, by giving us to ask him to remember, God makes us to remember. And so we are asking God to remember us and to remember the wicked and to remember the righteous. Of course, God does not forget. When we use the word remember, when we talk about God, we mean asking God to act upon truth and ask certain true aspects of his character or true promises through words he has spoken, promises he has given. And it says God remembered Noah. It doesn't mean God had been forgetting Noah and, oh yeah, there's Noah. No, it means God acts according to the relationship that he's established with Noah, the promises that he's made to Noah. So this is a psalm in which we are asking God to remember. And the psalm basically can be summarized in one request, or the request of the psalm anyway can be summarized in one request. That is, hurry. The request to deliver and the request for help in verse 1 are actually summarized under the one request, make haste. To deliver me, O God, to help me, O Yahweh, make haste. That is literally how verse 1 reads, with make haste at the conclusion of the verse. And then at the end, I am poor and needy. Make haste, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Yahweh, do not delay. So make haste, or do not delay, is basically a request that God would hurry. And so it is right and proper for us to cry out to God, to remember, to act consistently with his character, to act consistently with his promises, to act consistently with the relationship into which he has brought us with himself. And then, of course, he's asking for God to remember, first of all, him, to deliver him and help him. And notice the difference between him asking for deliverance and help in verse 1 to the recognition in verse 5 that God is his help and God is his deliverer. And so if you have God, then you have help and deliverance. It may be in the future, but it is no less your possession. It is no less certain just because it's in the future, because God is in the future already. He exists outside of time. He is eternal. And so you see how God gives us to ask him to remember, to cry out to him, help me, deliver me, hurry, Lord. And so that's a psalm for causing to remember, in that it's a prayer that he gives us to ask God to remember, and a song that he gives us to ask God to remember. But it's also a psalm for causing to remember, because this particular prayer and this particular song that he's given us makes us to remember that deliverance and help do come eventually as an action, but they are not primarily an action. They are a person. They are the deliverer, the helper. And so we are much delivered and much helped just by singing and praying. Because faith perceives things not the way that sight does. Sight perceives things by collecting data from our experience. Faith perceives things by collecting 100% reliable truth from God's words. And so the certainty of faith is even greater than the certainty of sight. Don't ever fall for this view of faith that says it's a leap over against knowledge. No, it's a recognition that what God says is more certain knowledge than what I see. And so that's one of the things that, or maybe that's a great thing that the Lord does for us in this psalm, is he makes us to remember that deliverance and help are not just actions that will come to us in the future. They are a person that we already have with us, present to us in the present. You are my help and my deliverer. So the first one he asks God to remember is himself, to act upon is himself. He also asks God to act upon his enemies, or the evil ones. The evil ones, of course, are those who are his enemies. There are two different kinds of seekers here. The wicked are those who seek his life, verse 2. The righteous are those who seek the Lord, verse 4. And so you have the wicked who are seeking his life, desiring his hurt, and saying, aha, aha, which is a declaration of their confidence that they will have and their victory over him, and their enjoyment of the victory that they are sure to have over him. Their delight is not in the Lord. Let those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Their delight is in themselves, and even more hostilely in themselves over against and by the destruction of David. And so there's confidence and pleasure and scorn and hatred all bound up in this aha, aha at the end of verse 3. And yet what happens when someone who is very confident is unable to produce that of which he was confident? He is humiliated. He is confounded. You can imagine an illusionist who thinks they're going to do, you know, what we would call a magic trick. And they get up and they do there and it completely doesn't work. And how they can feel the burning in their face and to the tips of their ears, and everybody is thinks they're ridiculous. And the more confident they were and arrogant they approached it, the worse the embarrassment is. Well, that's what David is praying would happen to the wicked. Let them be ashamed and confounded, turned back. The turned back in verse 2 is from a verb that means repulsed. And the turned back in verse 3 is from a verb that means set back in their place or returned to their place. One is more like reversed and the other one is returned. But let them be ashamed and confused, turned back and confused, turned back because of their shame. Let all of this hostility and confidence in themselves and arrogance be completely reversed upon them, so that the intensity with which they hated and David and delighted in that hate will be returned upon them. It's a request that God would remember his justice and his wrath upon the wicked. David also wants God to remember not just himself in verse 1 and the wicked in verse 2 and 3, but the righteous in verse 4. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. He's asking God to act for the sake of the godly. And what do the godly love? The godly love the Lord. And so when they see the Lord, bear his holy arm and act according to his character and according to his promises. They rejoice and are glad. They say, aha, that is my Lord. I love him more than anything else. I love it when he makes displays of himself. And so one of the things that David is asking for in this situation is not just to be delivered from enemies, but so that the righteous would have opportunity to rejoice in the one who delivered him from his enemies. And then they don't just love the Lord himself, let all those who seek you rejoice, but they love especially seeing the Lord's salvation. Let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Give those who love to see that you are the deliverer another opportunity to praise you for your deliverance. And you can see how this is turning things, because he realizes, although he's poor and needy right now, he's one of those who seeks the Lord and wants to have gladness and joy in him. He's one of those who loves the Lord's salvation and wants to praise God for praise the deliverer for the deliverance. And that's the mechanism by which the Spirit turns him from make haste to deliver me and to help me to realizing he already has the deliverer. He already has the helper. And so the making haste and the not delaying is still there, but the making haste and not delaying are there. Not so much because he wants to get out of what the wicked are doing, but because he wants to get into this rejoicing and being glad and saying continually, let God be magnified. When the help comes and the deliverance comes, it'll be another proper occasion for him to rejoice over God and for him to magnify God. And he's excited to do that. And in his being excited to do that, is he not already rejoicing over God and magnifying God? And so much of the deliverance and help have already come, even though the situation hasn't changed, because the Spirit has caused him to remember, even by putting in his mouth the request that God would remember. And so you and I, when we are in situations in life and we're crying out to God that he would remember us, even from our own sin, we can look for the Spirit to do the same sort of work in us, that just by causing us to cry out to God to remember us, God is making us to remember him. And he's already doing the work of delivering us. And he's already doing the work of delivering us out of every adversity. Amen. Let's pray and then let's sing this again. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for your wisdom. We are poor and we are needy, but you do remember us and you give us prayers and songs to ask you to remember us. And you use these prayers and songs to cause us to remember you so that we may enjoy already deliverance and help in you. And then we may have occasion to magnify you and rejoice and be glad all the more when you bring the moment of deliverance and deliver, help us and take us out of the trouble. And so we pray, O God, that you would be doing this sort of work in us by your Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.